It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Tom Brady has decided to go away from the New England Patriots just when everybody thought there's no sports to talk about. Tom Brady decides to do it. Actually, I got to quote this. I can't take credit for this bit of genius. And there goes the breaking news alert from the Associated Press. Where is it? Yes, us. No sports to talk about. Tom Brady, hold my twice-filtered vitamin-rich kale juice. welcome. It is Eric Erickson. Across Georgia and the nation, I am not video live streaming. You can go to one of many of my fine affiliates to live stream if you need to live stream this. We are doing broadcast radio today at its finest, believe it or not. The phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I am noticing a trend. I actually am. It started happening to me. By the way, happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. I'm wearing orange today just for you. I'm kidding. I am Presbyterian. I feel compelled, but I'm not even wearing green today. But it is St. Patrick's Day. I'll have a beer later. maybe as we get closer to noon. Why not? We can't go to Savannah today for the parade. So I am noticing a trend, and it started happening to me 2 days ago. And it amped up yesterday and picked up steam overnight, particularly as I was going down a conspiracy rabbit hole and kind of exposing and breaking down a conspiracy to explain to people what the truth of something was. And we'll get to that in just a minute. I'm totally shaking up the order of the show now, by the way. But I'm noticing people on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and I'm sure it's happening on Snapchat and other social media outlets as well, claiming that in December they had all the symptoms of COVID-19. They were tested for the flu. They tested negative for the flu. They clearly had COVID-19, therefore it couldn't have come from China. China has started a major social media troll factory to spread disinformation about what's going on. China has actually decided that they want to spread disinformation, and they want to undermine the truth of the situation. You're seeing a lot of progressives on social media taking their marching orders from China, not directly, but China is playing to their sympathies by having people who refer to the Wuhan virus denounced as racist. Now, Ebola, Zika, the West Nile, St. Louis encephalitis, the Rocky Mountain fever, you name it, they all get their names from geographic designation. They all get their names from where they originated. The Wuhan virus is not an exception to this. It's part of this. But the Chinese propagandists have been pushing the idea that to refer to it as the Wuhan virus is racist. And you will not be surprised to find that this became a talking point on the left. It was amplified by MSNBC. And just at the time that Mike Pompeo, the American Secretary of State, starts using the phrase Wuhan virus, it is because China is pushing this, claiming that it's racist propaganda. China is now seeding the well. For example, I debunked a conspiracy theory last night. I'll get to that here in a little bit. But I debunked a conspiracy theory that is directly tied to this Wuhan laboratory where a lot of people believe the virus came from. And I was stunned to see a number of people trying to send me links to a lot of fake sites saying, oh, no. It was American pharmaceutical companies who did this. And they were all freshly created Twitter accounts or accounts created in the last year with hardly any comments except about the situation. Very clearly bots. It's very much like what the Russians were doing in 2016, stirring up sentiment against Trump and against Hillary on social media. That, by the way, that's one of the things the media forgets, is that the Russian bots that were on Twitter were doing it against Hillary Clinton and against Donald Trump. It wasn't just against Clinton. It was against Trump as well. The Russians were out to sow discord, and that's what they did. They created a bunch of accounts. They had them lying dormant on Twitter for some time, and they fired them all up. And they would occasionally tweet from them just so It didn't look too suspicious. That's what's happening here. Now, we'll get into the conspiracy theory and all that. I want to get to the president's press conference. There is some breaking news, though, happening right now. It's 11 past the hour this morning, and the White House is going to propose an $850 billion emergency stimulus plan. This is separate from what the House had been doing. In fact, this will probably override what the House has been doing. It's going to include a payroll tax cut. It's going to include aid for airlines. The Kentucky Derby has been postponed now. It's going to wait until the weekend of college football starting. Kentucky sucks at football, so no big deal there. But for the rest of us, we'll be watching college football, I'm sure. Now, we'll get to all of that. But let me go to the president's press conference. I'm going to play you a very lengthy excerpt of the president. I want you to hear him in his entirety. No cuts on this particular part because it's very important. The White House has outlined guidelines they want everyone to adhere to, including no crowds of 10 or more, no discretionary travel, stay in your home and close all the schools nationwide to stop the spread of this virus. The president taking this very seriously. You can hear from his tone yesterday. I got some points to make on that, but I want you to hear the president in his entirety. Relevantly, if you want to see the president's plan, if you want to see the guidelines, if you want to read the PDF from the White House yourself, if you text the word data to 33777, I'm going to send you back a link to a daily newsletter I've started writing for people. You can subscribe to it. It's $7. That's it. And you can subscribe to this email. If you don't, that's fine. You'll still be able to get through. You'll be able to find the relevant links to the White House guidelines. I don't want to profit off the coronavirus. I want you to be able to see the data. So text data to 33777. You will get a link back. And if you click it, follow through, you'll find some relevant links, including the White House guidelines. Everything's down at the bottom, in particular of that piece you'll see so that you can have them. Now, here's the president. This is about 3 minutes, and I want to play this in its entirety for you because you should hear from him, not me, on this.
This morning, I spoke with the leaders of the G7 nations, and they really had a good meeting. I think it was a very, very productive meeting. I also spoke with our nation's governors. And this afternoon, we're announcing new guidelines for every American to follow over the next 15 days as we combat the virus. Each and every one of us has a critical role to play in stopping the spread and transmission of the virus. We did this today. This was done by a lot of very talented people, some of whom are standing with me, and that's available. And Dr. Birx will be speaking about that in just a few minutes. It's important for the young and healthy people to understand that while they may experience milder symptoms, they can easily spread this virus, and they will spread it indeed, putting countless others in harm's way. We especially worry about our senior citizens. The White House Task Force meets every day and continually updates guidelines based on the fast evolving situation that this has become all over the world. It's all over the world. It's incredible what's happened in such a short period of time. On the guidelines of the task force, the new modeling conducted by Dr. Birx and our consultation with governors, we've made the decision to further toughen the guidelines and blunt the infection now. We'd much rather be ahead of the curve than behind it, and that's what we are. Therefore, my administration is recommending that all Americans, including the young and healthy, work to engage in schooling from home when possible. Avoid gathering in groups of more than 10 people. Avoid discretionary travel. And avoid eating and drinking at bars, restaurants, and public food courts. If everyone makes this change or these critical changes and sacrifices now, we will rally together as one nation, and we will defeat the virus, and we're going to have a big celebration all together. With several weeks of focused action, we can turn the corner and turn it quickly. A lot of progress has been made. I'm also pleased to report today that a vaccine candidate has begun the phase one clinical trial. This is one of the fastest vaccine development launches in history. Not even close. We're also racing to develop antiviral therapies and other treatments, and we've had some promising results, early results, but promising. To reduce the severity and the duration of the symptoms. And I have to say that our government is prepared to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, we're doing. We're doing it in every way. And with that, I'd like to just introduce Dr. Birx, who's going to discuss some of the things that we strongly recommend. Thank you.
That was the President of the United States addressing the nation late yesterday. There is just to give you the guidelines again, if you want to see him, text the word data to 33777 so that you have them yourself. He wants to limit gatherings. And keep in mind, this is not, contrary to the way some have reported it, this is not a mandate. There is no mandate. I got blown up late last evening by someone saying, stop spreading rumors of martial law. Haven't you seen San Francisco? Well, yesterday it was all rumor about martial law. San Francisco has largely imposed martial law at this point. People are shut in their houses. They have a shelter-in-place order in San Francisco. You're not allowed to go out for the next several days at all for any reason. But that's not nationwide. In fact, the president was asked about it yesterday, and he said he does not expect it to happen nationwide. He expects there will be local communities around the country that decide they've got to do this, but otherwise they're not going to do this, which is a smart way to do it. Do we need it to shelter in place in Georgia? Probably not statewide. Maybe in some places it's going to become necessary, but overall statewide, no, it doesn't look like we're going to need to worry about that, which is a good thing. We will figure this out as we go through it. The president says it may last until August. He did make mention of that vaccine, and that there is a vaccine candidate. Let me play him again on this and then Dr. Fauci.
I'm also pleased to report today that a vaccine candidate has begun the phase one clinical trial. This is one of the fastest vaccine development launches in history. Not even close. We're also racing to develop antiviral therapies and other treatments, and we've had some promising results, early results, but promising, to reduce the severity and the duration of the symptoms. And I have to say that our government is prepared to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, we're doing. We're doing it in every way.
That was the president on the vaccine. Here's Dr. Fauci.
The vaccine candidate that was given the first injections for the first person took place today. You might recall when we first started, I said it would be 2 to 3 months. And if we did that, that would be the fastest we've ever gone from obtaining the sequence to being able to do a phase one trial. This has been now 65 days, which I believe is the record. What it is, it's a trial of 45 normal individuals between the ages of 18 and 55. The trial is taking place in Seattle. There will be two injections, one at 0 day, first one, then 28 days. There will be three separate doses, 25 milligrams, 100 milligrams, 250 milligrams, and the individuals will be followed for 1 year, both for safety and whether it induces the kind of response that we predict would be protective. And that's exactly what I've been telling this group over and over again. So it's happened. The first injection was today.
It's not going to be until next year, unless barring some sort of scientific miracle here, it's going to be a year before this thing is developed. And the reason that's relevant is because they do expect this virus to not burn out altogether. They think it's going to be around for a while. And there's a developing difference of opinion between the United States and Great Britain and the Netherlands and the rest of Europe over this. You know, one of the interesting side effects of this virus is we're starting to realize, again, borders do matter. For the Open Borders Brigade, borders, turns out, they do matter. In fact, you've got now Canada closing off its border with everyone except people from the United States. You've got the rest of Europe, European countries now within the European zone, shutting down their borders to other people. A lot of them shutting down their borders to the Netherlands and the UK now because of herd immunity, the idea of herd immunity. And it's only just dawned on Great Britain that herd immunity probably is a terrible idea. I'll explain what that is and why suddenly it's dawning on him it's a bad idea when we come back.
I really do like his opinion on things.
Eric Erickson, the information you need and the truth you demand.
He tells it like it is.
Live every weekday.
The phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. How is your social distancing going, your self-quarantining going? I hope it's going well for you. If you need a break from homeschooling the kids or what have you, feel free to call in. What is herd immunity? This is becoming a thing. The essential piece here is that in Great Britain and the Netherlands, they've decided to let everybody get sick. Their theory is that this virus is going to be around for a while, so go on and let everybody build up natural immunity to it. If you're a senior citizen, shelter in place. Everybody else, go about your business. Everybody will get immune to it, and it'll burn itself out. That's the thinking, just so you understand it. The Netherlands, of course, is a country that prides itself on euthanasia and killing senior citizens. And the Dutch prime minister has basically come out and said, yep, we're doing nothing. Let everybody get it. And people are going to die, but it'll be far better in the long run. Now, the Dutch don't exactly value life. Boris Johnson, it's finally dawning on him that there may be a problem. Here is some of Boris Johnson.
Every Londoner knows the city's underground, the Tube, is a filthy breeding ground for disease, even on a good day. But the growing coronavirus threat isn't keeping people away. No social distancing down here. It's hot, crowded, and far too intimate. But even as many Brits calmly carry on with their lives, they're also scared and confused, and they blame the government.
No, I don't think so they're doing enough, because there's still people going out, there's still people going to school.
Well, I just feel frightened, you know, because I don't think they're telling us enough.
The British government waited longer than others around the world to make the hard decisions which keep people away from each other, insisting the science supported holding off. While at the same time, Prime Minister Boris Johnson made grave predictions about what's likely to come.
Many more families are going to lose loved ones before their time.
Yes, many more Britons are going to lose loved ones before their time. And why? Because his health advisors, by the way, the health minister in Great Britain has tested positive for the virus and is now in isolation. And they made the decision that they're not going to shut down the country. It's going to be business as usual. And so the virus is spreading through younger populations. The elderly are getting it. It's going to overwhelm their hospital system. And the Dutch, by the way, the Dutch are doing this, and the Dutch are saying, yes, it's going to overwhelm the hospitals. And the hospitals are equipped to decide who lives and who dies. That's herd immunity. The upside of herd immunity is that it gets the virus out of their system quicker and more people build natural immunity to it. The downside of it is a whole lot more people will die in those countries. And frankly, when you look at the European setup right now, they are in population crisis because their young people are not reproducing enough to keep the population going. So they're killing off the productive members of society and senior citizens in the name of building up immunity to this virus. And the young people aren't procreating, and they're going to have even less incentive to do so. They are essentially sabotaging their populations in Great Britain and the Netherlands. And in the UK, they're safe because they just had a parliamentary election. But this is going to have lasting consequences in both countries. Everywhere else is shutting down borders. Even the Germans, for example, are shutting down borders with their neighboring countries. And the Germans have been the most pro-open borders country in Europe. It actually is rather funny in my mind to see European countries reasserting sovereignty and border control when for years they've prided themselves on being open borders, being a United States of Europe. It is all falling apart now because of this virus. Borders matter. National sovereignty matters. And we're beginning to see that here in this country and elsewhere. Lots happening there. Now, we need to discuss the press as well. I want to play you a quick little soundbite of the president from yesterday's press conference.
Very simple question. Does the buck stop with you? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your response to this crisis?
I'd rate it a 10. I think we've done a great job.
So that reporter was wearing black rubber gloves, scared to get sick, wearing black rubber gloves. By the way, you could see in the video he had a tear in them already. I don't know who the reporter is. I assume he's from a left-wing publication. And he had a moment to ask the president of the United States a question. After weeks of the media demanding that the president move on, weeks that the media demand the president be more serious, weeks that the media demand the president grow up and express the seriousness of it, he does exactly what they want to do yesterday. And this little Poindextery reporter in his black rubber gloves, as if he's scared of something in the White House, is, can you tell me, how do you rate your success on this? And what do you think about what you've done? And isn't it all your fault anyway that we're all getting sick? What a waste of a question. What a waste of oxygen by that guy to do that. Are we all going to grow up and move on or not? That's what they said they wanted the president to do. It is Eric Erickson here. And again, if you text the word data to 33777, you can get the White House briefing paper on what they want people to do. You know, we're... My sister says it sounds very selfish of me, and it is. It is totally selfish of me to bring this up, but I really want to go to the beach in 2 weeks for spring break, and we rented a house with some friends to go, and we can shelter in place there. In fact, I'm seeing this coming. I've been slowly over the last several weeks, as I've been telling you guys, buying enough food. We can take it all with us so I never have to leave the house. I want to go. I really don't want the interstates to be shut down, which I don't know how they would actually enforce something like that, but they may try. In any event, I'm seeing all of this stuff coming up, and it does concern me as to the state of the nation and where we go and sheltering in place and all that sort of stuff. It's deeply problematic and troubling. Economically, it is on small businesses. You know, Georgia, in the last couple of years, since the legislature did the whole free the beer thing and passed legislation that allowed craft beer breweries to sell to people who visit the breweries, the business has exploded. And I saw this, let me find it. Some of you, if you're familiar with Reformation is in Canton, and it is in Woodstock. They are great people. Spencer Nix is a wonderful guy, and let me read you what he put up on Facebook last night. This has been one of the most difficult days of my professional life, and I have no doubt that there are many more to come, but telling the most amazing crew on earth the hard realities of what we are facing as a small business has devastated me. There is no law or justice in the world to ease these hard moments. I would covet your prayers for our business and our crew. We absolutely love serving you and standing against the tide of cultural social distancing. The measures we must now take for the health and safety of our crew and our community are undeniable. But now, Reformation Brewery needs our community more than ever. We want to survive to be able to serve you a full experience again and to tear down these walls of social distance. As hard, difficult, and uncertain as these moments are, let's never forget them. We are not created for this. We are created for face-to-face human interactions. I pray that all the efforts to flatten the curve and that being forced to go online will not only work to slow the virus, but also cure us of our infatuation with thinking that the digital community is equal or better than face-to-face, life-to-life community. I'm fully leaning on the grace of God in these times, and Reformation Brewery is now fully leaning on the grace of our community. Stay tuned for more robust outdoor socially distanced experiences and drive-through options, and please consider Reformation all our amazing retail partners. It is just amazing. And now, I just actually, while I'm doing this, I am seeing, Nick Purdy from Wild Heaven is messaging me on Facebook, and they are, having to furlough people. Let me send this out. I'm going to do this on Twitter live here. If you want to follow me on Twitter at EW Erickson, so you can help out. Here's a great way to help a great Georgia brewery. Pushing that out for Wild Heaven now. They just had to furlough four people from their brewery. We're seeing this across the board with small businesses in Georgia impacted. Retailers, restaurants, breweries. Remember, a lot of restaurants now are going to be takeout restaurants because the government is increasingly cracking down on that. In different parts of the state, curfews are imposed, keeping people at home. In Athens, in Brookhaven, Georgia, on the part of Atlanta inside the perimeter, they are shutting down a lot of places on government orders. It's going to be a very, very difficult economic time for people. So anything you can do to help would be appreciated. Now, I want to get back to the press misfiring. I'm told this was Hunter Walker, the soundbite I played earlier. You got a chance to ask the President of the United States a question, and this is your question.
Very simple question. Does the buck stop with you? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your response to this crisis?
I'd rate it a 10. I think we've done a great job.
You've got one chance to ask the president a question. The media has been telling the president to grow up, get mature, get responsible, take ownership, make people understand the seriousness of it. He does exactly what the media tells him to do. And this twerp comes in and says that. Now, a couple of his colleagues actually private messaged me and said, hello, this guy, he's not the best reporter in the newsroom. So there you have it, from one of his colleagues, no less. And I think that's true. The media has been fighting and squabbling and pushing on this for so much and so long and so hard. The president does what they want, and they absolutely can't bring themselves to let it go. And they're discrediting themselves, much like I'm seeing reporters this morning who are pushing the idea that to say Chinese virus or Wuhan virus is racist and xenophobic. Racist and xenophobic. To use Chinese virus. And it's not. In fact, the West Nile virus, the Zika virus, Ebola, the Rocky Mountain fever, the St. Louis encephalitis, you name it. Geographic description has always been part of naming viruses. And it is only the Chinese who have complained about it. And suddenly everyone's up in arms on the American left. It's very telling how quickly the Chinese propaganda talking point that it's racist to refer to it as the Chinese or the Wuhan virus has infected the American media and the political left in this country. People are literally online screaming about the president released a tweet this morning referring to the Chinese virus, and reporters are literally online having a meltdown over it as if that's the serious thing to focus on. I'll tell you the serious thing to focus on, the economy, and what is the president doing? Taking a very grown-up tone on this.
The stock market took another hit today. Is the U.S. economy heading into a recession?
Well, it may be. We're not thinking in terms of recession. We're thinking in terms of the virus. Once we stop, I think there's a tremendous pent-up demand, both in terms of the stock market and in terms of the economy. And once this goes away, once it goes through and we're done with it, I think you're going to see a tremendous surge.
And then there's this about the stock market.
The stocks continue to fall today. Would the White House support negative rates?
Best thing I can do for the stock market is we have to get through this crisis. That's what I can do. That's the best thing we can do. That's what I think about. Once this virus is gone, I think you're going to have a stock market like nobody's ever seen before.
That's the answer that he needed to give. And that's the answer that he gave. And so what has the press done? They've immediately moved on to screaming about Chinese virus, the Wuhan virus. It's really hard to take these people seriously. It is really, really, really hard to take these people seriously. And of course, they're going to demand to be taken seriously. And they're going to claim that any of you who say otherwise are racist. But you're not. And it is they, remember, it is they who are peddling Chinese propaganda. Now, let's get into the bailouts. The president is going to offer up an $800 billion economic stimulus plan. It's going to include $500 billion in a payroll tax cut, $250 billion in small business loans, and $58 billion for airlines along with other items. Mitt Romney and Tom Cotton in the Senate want $1,000 cash payments to every American without tax, which would help a ton of people. I don't know if they want to means test that or not. I'm actually not opposed to means testing. I would be fine without the $1,000. If I get it, I will certainly spend it with a small business in one of these breweries or restaurants in the state of Georgia to make sure that they're taken care of. But I know a lot of people who need it. A lot of people are furloughed or laid off now. Wild Heaven, Nick Purdy from Wild Heaven, the brewery in Avondale Mills, just texted me and said they've had furlough four employees this morning. But there are more casinos. You know, the casinos in Las Vegas are shutting down now. The MGM Grand led it. The Wynn has followed suit. The others are going to follow suit as well. They're shutting down, and they want bailouts. Never mind that they're laying off employees to save money. I think the government should probably, if they're going to bail out the casinos, actually bail out the casino employees and not the casinos. The casinos can take care of themselves. Let the casinos deal with this otherwise. The airlines want it. That's somewhat understandable. Airports actually want bailouts. You know, the airports get gate fees, among other things, and they're having difficulty now with the airlines, and they're trying to reduce costs for the airlines and help as much as they can. So they want federal government money. The cruise lines want to bail out as well. I'm not sure we need to be bailing out the cruise lines, although I do understand there are a lot of jobs at stake and it's a huge industry. And then, of course, as I mentioned, you've got Tom Cotton and Mitt Romney both want cash payments to Americans, $1,000 in the pocket of Americans. Particularly for the jobless, I think for people who lose their jobs, I think. Look, I don't need the $1,000. I will gladly take the $1,000 and I will redirect it where I think appropriate, which I'm fine with doing. But I genuinely do think that those who are furloughed and laid off need it more than me and probably could use more than $1,000. In fact, if you means test it so that the people who are continuing to get paid aren't getting it and the people who aren't getting paid do get it, I give them more. I don't have a problem with that right now. I don't think we should have people having to queue up in unemployment lines right now. We're trying to keep people away from each other. There's no reason to queue up in an unemployment line. You know, by the way, it is going to be interesting, and I want to get into the Georgia stuff in the next hour to see what the governor's going to do. What is the governor going to do on this? Is the governor going to shut down the Department of Driver Services? In Texas, for example, Governor Abbott there has told people, stop trying to get your driver's license renewed. We'll just, for the rest of the year, presume your driver's license is good. Same with tag renewals and things like that. In fact, in Texas, like in Georgia, alcohol delivery trucks cannot be food delivery trucks. They got to be separate. In Texas, the governor got rid of that. So alcohol delivery drivers can also deliver groceries to grocery stores, which isn't a bad idea. I didn't know that was a firewall there, but apparently that's very common in states, including here. So there are ways governors can get involved and do these things. It's actually good. And the question is, what's an essential business? Because in a lot of places, including Europe and now here, government is ordering businesses to be shut down unless they're essential businesses. And basically that is gas stations, drug stores, grocery stores, and banks. Those are the essential businesses. People got to buy their groceries. People got to buy their gas. People got to get their money and people got to get their drugs. So leave those open and everybody else closes down. That's what we're looking at here. As an aside, my daughter needed something from the drugstore last night, and I'm really hesitant to go to a CVS or a Walgreens right now. I don't mean that bad, but you know, when I'm sick, one of the first places I go is to the CVS or the Walgreens. I got a CVS just up the street from me. And I typically, if I need medicine, I go there than to the Publix because the CVS has a better selection than the Publix does. And right now I'm kind of thinking, I don't want to go there. And at least I know Publix is closing early every night and scrubbing down and then restocking for the morning, which is fantastic. By the way, it is worth noting Kroger in Georgia is saying it's hiring people right now. Kroger's going to hire people. They're going to keep open 24 hours a day, and they want to hire more people to keep the shelves stocked more. Also, Amazon is hiring 100,000 people to help with people who are in isolation, who need help, who need to get their stuff online. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, so we do our toilet paper and paper towel orders through Amazon. Amazon has the subscribe option. If you're a Prime member, you can do subscriptions, and it's cheaper to get a big box of toilet paper and paper towels delivered every month from Amazon than it is to go to the grocery store. And plus, you don't have that big bulky item in your grocery cart when you're trying to fill it up with groceries. So I do it, and yesterday the toilet paper delivered. Believe it or not, praise Jesus, the toilet paper came on time. And it was on the front porch. And I thought, for the first time ever, I mean, even at Christmas, I don't think this stuff. And yesterday, here's this big box of toilet paper, and it is very clearly labeled toilet paper because it is the commercial manufacturer's box. And I'm looking at that thinking, I got to get this off the front porch. Somebody's going to rob me. I did think that. You think that about Christmas stuff. We had Christmas present boxes on the front porch and on the side porch. Now, we got a little security camera. We can see people coming up and whatnot. We can even talk to people. But I'm thinking yesterday with the toilet paper, I better get – this is like having a pile of gold coins on my front porch visible for everyone. It's like having a spotlight and a sign with an arrow pointing towards it. Hey, get your gold right here. I was just having the toilet paper on the front porch. But you know the other thing? I put a picture of it up on Instagram. And there was a weekend's worth of pollen. There is a weekend's worth of pollen on my front porch right now. And it's gross. Pollen is covering everything. I mean, it is the trees are peeing on everything. It's gross. That yellow film everywhere. And so people's allergies are going to be flared up. And as people's allergies get flared up, people are going to be worried that they got the coronavirus when, in fact, all they got is allergies. And now, how do you tell the difference, by the way? It's a great question, and people keep asking it. In large part, although the COVID-19 virus, it can cause congestion. In fact, it does typically cause a lot of fluid and phlegm buildup in your lungs. But initially, as this thing is getting started, if you got fluid in your ears and gunk sliding down the back of your throat and your nose is congested, you've got allergies or you got a head cold. If you got fever and a dry cough, you've probably got the virus. There's the dry cough and the fever are the most common signs for the virus. And of course, a bunch of snot in your nose is a sign that you just got standard Georgia allergies. That's the difference.
Well connected and well respected. It's Eric Erickson, live every weekday.
Well, there's some good news here in addition to Tom Brady leaving the Patriots. You know, can I just say as an aside here, those of you who listen to me regularly understand I'm not the biggest sports fan. I'm not. I do like to watch my kid play soccer. I do like to watch go to a baseball game. I do not go to the TP enough to watch the Braves play. And by the way, they've indefinitely postponed Major League Baseball now. I don't even know if it's going to happen this year or if it's going to be in a bridge season. But nonetheless, it's amazing to me that, well, I knew it was going to happen. And again, I'm not a huge sports fan. I do love college football, UGA and LSU, the SEC, basically the SEC. It's God's teams anyway. When Jesus comes back at the second coming, he's coming back as an SEC fan. Nonetheless, sorry, Georgia Tech fans. But at the beginning of this past NFL season, there were a series of profiles of Tom Brady, most notably, I believe, in Sports Illustrated, but ESPN Magazine did one as well, about Brady coming back and he wants to play. And it was about his fitness routine and how fit he is and how awesome he is and what he eats and what he doesn't eat and how much the entire team revolves around him. And he's got so much power at the team and Brady's going to be there forever. And I read these profiles of Tom Brady and I thought, this is an act of hubris. This guy is not going to make it to the Super Bowl. And I said as much on my radio show last year, before this one started, my evening show, I said as much that there's no way reading these profiles that the Patriots are going to make it to the Super Bowl. And the reason that I firmly believe that at the time is because these pieces read like propaganda. And if you're a football team, and you've got to peddle that much propaganda about your aging quarterback, you're worried. I mean, I don't need to be a sports ball expert to be able to tell you that when you see that level of propaganda out there, you're probably worried. You are probably concerned. You are probably needing to reassure your fans and everyone else on the planet that your guy is okay. Never mind his age. Look at all this other stuff. But when you read it, there were some serious problems. Belichick and Brady were at odds with each other on a number of things. Players were getting mixed messages. Backup quarterbacks were scared to go to the Patriots because they were afraid that they would make Tom Brady feel threatened and their careers would be ruined when they were just getting started in the NFL. It was really an amazing piece of hubris to read some of these things. And it was kind of a big red flag that Tom Brady actually can't admit he's past his prime. But he's going to go somewhere else. And it's going to be funny to watch another team embrace Tom Brady and see what the Patriots do. What do the Patriots fans do? Comfortably Smug on Twitter. If you're on social media and you're not following Comfortably Smug, you really need to. He had a tweet up a little while ago that it's about time Patriots fans or people in New England need to define themselves as something other than Patriots fans. True. Now, in other good news, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson are out of the hospital. Their cases of coronavirus were mild. They are still in Australia, where I think he's been filming a movie. But they're out of the hospital. Their son has sent word that they are doing fine and they are recovered. They had a couple of rough days in the hospital, but they are doing fine, which is good news. Idris Elba, who I hope is the future James Bond, he is having trouble and has been diagnosed as positive. He's in good health. Hopefully he will have a mild case of it as well. And be able to get on. There are a lot of people now who are starting to have mild. You know, I've been telling you guys that the mild case is still pretty rough. And increasingly we're finding in the Western data sets that actually there are a lot of people who are getting it, even adults who get it and have really mild cases or no symptoms at all. And in fact, most of the kids who are testing positive for it have no symptoms at all. But some people, it goes very bad on them and they can't figure out why it's working well for some people and not for other people. We just don't have the scientific data. There is one small silver lining piece of good news that I can tell you for sure. I've been cautioning you for about 2 weeks now that we do not have enough data yet to say that this virus will start to fade as the weather warms up. But increasingly, it does appear that's going to be the case. It does appear there is now a whole lot of data coming actually out of tropical countries that are facing this, that it is not spreading in warm countries. Above 80 degrees, it's having a hard time spreading. And we should actually be grateful for that as warm weather is headed our way here soon here in the Southeast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.